Here's what you missed on Kennedy Malloy. Don't miss out on some great low and slow barbecue tips and recipes. Hit up the low and slow zone at barbecuesgalore.com.au. The Red Centre.
The beating heart of Australia.
Vast, sweeping landscapes. Unforgettable wildlife. Endless amounts of red dust. And two radio hosts who slept in a swag last night.
Come on.
Broadcasting live from Yuendumu, a remote Indigenous community 300 kilometres northwest of Alice Springs, in association with Red Dust and their Healthy Living Program. This is Kennedy Malloy, live from the Northern Territory.
You got that right, my friend, and you're dead right. We have been sleeping out under the stars, camping. I repeat, camping, not glamping. We'll get to the bottom of that in just a moment. Hello, Jane Kennedy. Very big show coming up.
Hello, Mick. I can't say whether I was traumatised or impressed by sleeping out at night with you in Santo, but we will get to that indeed. That's We've got a great show.
Closest we'll ever get to spooning, Jane Kennedy.
Oh, my goodness. There you go. Hey, we're going to talk about some of the amazing sights and sounds and talk to some great people that we've met up here.
Yep, and of course, our special guest, Jane, is Dan Sultan, who will be coming in to sing a song and talk to us. Local boy. Grew up here.
He is. We're also going to be joined again for the whole show because it went so well yesterday by Mr. Santo Chilaro, who joins us.
Excuse me. Jackamara. Chilaro.
Get it right. Hello, Santo. You could be in trouble for that. So, yeah, that's right. So you slept in between Mick and... That's a swag sandwich.
I don't know what it is.
That's on the menu.
I had some very weird dreams.
All right.
And we're going to talk with Sherilee Hood, who's up here.
Yes.
She's a great Indigenous female comedian, which is always a treat.
And all right.
Seriously funny. Adam Rosenbach is in Dubbo.
He's in Dubbo. Royal
meet
watch.
The Royal...
We sent him there.
We did send
he's
him there.
He's not happy about
specifically.
It.
Specifically. Especially because they're not there yet, so he's not
indeed.
That thrilled.
Hey, we're going to ask you what we've missed because we've been up here.
A few things have happened politics today.
All right, we'll try and get to the bottom of that.
All right.
And, we're going to take your calls. We'll take your tweets. So much more. Hello, Dave, back
how are
in
you guys?
The Big Smoke. How are you?
We're doing that's very good. Well. Looking great well, there, I see.
Well, we're good. And as we mentioned, we've got Jackamara Chilaro with us. How are you today?
I did a bit of tracking before.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, found a bit of bush tucker.
You guys seriously think you're just really at one
I could live off the land. If you put me in the loincloth and push me out, I could live off berries
Mick,
for a month.
What did you pull out at the campsite last night?
And also,
how dare
say,
you?
No.
That was secret men's business.
I was going to say, if twisties grew on trees, then you would be
I thought the
happy.
The Garnet's butternut snaps.
Okay, now listen, that was off the record.
Okay.
I tried to blame it on Jane.
Mick went and got from the supermarket
we're having some
granny biscuits, some shortbread.
No, hold on. I tell you.
What are they called?
The shortbread. You know,
yeah,
the ones that snap in half?
Yeah.
Scotch fingers.
Scotch fingers.
But I made Jane present them to the group.
He said, guys, Jane's brought some. He said, hey, I really want a biscuit, but can you offer them round like they're yours, that you've got them? And I went, oh, okay. Hey, and Mick goes, hey, look, Jane's got some biscuits there. Guys, come and have one.
I've got the bush tomatoes, said Mick.
He said it was too embarrassing for a man to offer a shortbread.
Look, hey, what happens when you're camping? Camping? I was the only one who painted up. Campsite, though, I noticed. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought that was a bit disrespectful, painting up as Gene Simmons.
From Kiss.
Honestly.
Look, I just thought I'd give it a go.
I don't think it's culturally as significant.
We're going to be speaking to Raymond shortly, who is his land we were camping
Raymond
on.
Raymond Walters.
And it was, we are camping out under the stars in the middle of just this ocean field of land, and it was truly amazing. As we sat around the campfire, though, something was bugging me, and then I realised we need to vote someone off. You know what it is these days? We're sitting there going, someone has to go.
It was very reminiscent of Survivor.
Yeah. Tribal council.
I'm a half a celebrity. Get me out of here.
Mick, when you came out with the Scotch Finger Biscuits, I reckon you would have been voted off at that point.
How dare you?
They were tasty, though.
My only other complaint, the stars were too bright.
They were
burning my retinas.
I was
lying there looking at the stars going, have we got a dimmer switch? This is unbelievable.
Can I say what you said about the stars too? It really was extraordinary. We're looking up and I was saying, I can see Orion. And you said, hey, Jane, I think as a lady you should refer it to the proper term, saucepan.
It's Orion's belt.
Actually, there was people last night were having a go at the constellations. People were saying Virgo. It's just one star.
It was one star. That's not a. How can that be a thing? That's not a thing. Right. And the only other thing, I would have thought maybe someone would have pulled the didge out last night.
But it's not. Well, that's not a Mick.
We've discovered this.
The didgeridoo is actually not an instrument. Of the central desert.
Is that my stupid white guy?
Well, it comes from. I think most people know that it comes from further north.
And it's not actually even called.
It's
not even called a didgeridoo. Oh, that's not a proper term.
Geez.
What's it called, Santo?
The piano accordion.
Well, why are you saying those poolside corroborees I saw at the Darwin Hilton aren't authentic? Is that what you're saying?
I think that's what I might be saying.
Yeah, you've got to be from the right area in this country to be able to.
All right. Look, there's so much material for us to wade. It was a fantastic experience camping out last night. Mm. It was a genuine camp. We were in a dry riverbed.
It was beautiful.
And,
luckily, it didn't flood. That was my only concern. Spooky stories too. I managed to sleep through. All right.
The local instrument here are the sticks, the duru. They're either boomerangs or actually sticks. So that's the
clapping sticks. The indigenous version of my cowbell. Is that a
yes?
Yes, that's right, man.
Can I tell you can I quickly? Yeah. I'm going to break my favorite story involving the stick was that Mundawini Yunupingu, and you may remember I may have told this story on the show before.
Oh, name dropping again.
I met him up at Yirrkala, and then we interviewed him later on the show when he was the lead singer of Rothu Yindi. And he was telling the story how he was asked by Olympic organisers to appear at the closing ceremony. And he went, of course, I could. We are honoured. We're just so chuffed to be representing our country on the biggest stage of the world with the eyes of the world upon us. And so, great, of course we'll do it. And then they said, oh, by the way, can we bring a few friends and relatives around down from Gove, Yirrkala? And the Olympic organisers go, absolutely not. Mm. We will only provide tickets to the opening and accommodation for members of the band. And he's gone, okay, fair enough, no worries. So anyway, you cut to the closing ceremony. There's Rothu Yindi playing to the world. Mm-hmm. There's Mundawai at the front of the guitar. And immediately to his right are 20 of his family members banging two sticks together.
It's a very big band.
It's the band.
That is a good bit of local Aussie comedy.
As far as I'm concerned. With that, Dave, will you take us away?
We will indeed.
Hello, my name is Mira Miller and I'm from Yundamo. You're listening to Kennedy Moo.
Take it away, kids.
My name is Shamina. I got the end of the school. That's what Are You Gonna Go My Way by Lenny Kravitz. And you're listening to Kennedy Molloy.
Great job, kids. Kennedy Molloy, Jane Kennedy, Mick Molloy, and Santo Chilaro from Yundamoo.
All right, and here we are I've got Mick and Jane with me, and I'm introducing a very special friend of mine. Well, they've met him already because we've been camping overnight. An old friend of mine, Raymond Walters Chapananka. Raymond, thanks first of all for taking us to your magnificent land.
Wonderful.
We had a wonderful night and a wonderful morning. What did you say this morning, Mick?
I can't remember. What did I say?
You said, I think that's one of the best.
This is the most beautiful morning,
most beautiful morning
I've ever had.
I did say that. Yep. And then I said, you know, this country needs a good fracking.
Ray, how do you feel about that?
It's begging for a fracking. It's too pristine, Ray. Tell us a bit about this beautiful bundle of land.
Yeah, no, look, it was a real pleasure having you guys out there.
Thank you.
And I tend to do that with the Red Dusters because they come up this way quite a bit and I've been involved for the last 18 years now. So it's always good to take people out there. That place is called Nulliglong and it belongs to all the Jungalas and Jumba Jimba mob.
And this is just your family's.
Yeah, just a Mudgeta side, all the Mudgeta family. So my grandfather, he wasn't able to join us last night because he's pretty tired. We had a big trip.
Grandpa Jack?
Yeah, Grandpa Jack.
He's a ripping guy. He's one of the best. He's the best. I was asking you how old Jack was. What was the answer?
I don't know.
Was he born someone in the 20s, you reckon?
Yeah,
I try and get an idea of it. He'll be in his 90s.
We've given up on age around here. I met a bloke yesterday called Warwick, who's a grandfather, and he's 32. Age up here doesn't have the same meaning or connotation.
And I said, how old's the little baby? And he said, pulled his hands apart and he said, about this big.
Yeah.
So anyway, thank you for the land. Tell us some significance about your land.
The caretakers was my mother's late father, Sandy Tillmouth, and some people knew him as John Murray, so he had two names, and they're kind of like settlement last names. So he looked after Beendree, which is where the turkey dreaming is, and Grandpa Jack Cook Jungler was looking after the emu side.
Yep.
So those two animals were fighting over the Smrinacudgeta bush tomatoes, and when they found it, the emus got angry and they cracked it because the turkeys didn't want to share any of that tucker.
And they couldn't do mediation? There was no mediation available? No mediation.
Are they the massive rocks that we were seeing?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, how'd you enjoy the view?
The view was just outrageous.
Well, I would think it's probably one of the best mornings I had too. We got up before the sun came up, which is not normal for you, Mick, is it?
Well, I'm usually getting home about
that's
then.
That's what I thought.
I was actually getting into my swag as you guys were getting up.
Well, I had placed myself in between Mick and Santo, because there are a few sort of stories going around the camp the night before. The guy's trying to scare me.
The fact that they called it Scorpion Point.
Yes.
There was a few stories about wild horses, Brumbies and possibly camels.
Coming in the middle of the night.
Yeah, so obviously last night we heard the horses sing out.
Yeah.
And they come into communities looking for water. Is that what they do?
Yeah, they come in and take over and looking for those taps. And
you were telling us last night that they come in and if there's no water around, they'll kick down a tap in the community.
Just to get the water away.
So is it like standover tactics?
Standover horses, are they?
Yep. And the camels have done it to Kintore.
The camels are in on it.
They've done it in Kintore, where hundreds of
So they come in, they kick down your tap, and they go, "We'll be back Tuesday. Have some water."
If you know what's good for you. Hang on, we've left this human head in your bed. You spend a lot of time out here, clearly.
Yep.
But I guess, I don't know, if you had to go overseas, you had to write where your home is your home in here or Geelong? Where do you say you live?
Well, this is my home here.
Yeah.
I live in Geelong and I love Geelong. It's on Wadawurrung country, and our kids are getting good education away from country. But this is my home. This is where.
But that's interesting because I know your beautiful wife and your beautiful kids, and it must be very hard for you because you have a responsibility out here on your own land, as you say. This is your home, and at the same time, you have personal responsibilities with your family.
It's extremely difficult to try and walk both ways. I guess, look, for me personally, it's about establishing a balance that's good for me. And I try and get back home as much as I can, but at the moment we're really invested in ensuring that our kids have a fairly prosperous, you know, and they're safe in the future. And even today, you know, times are changing really quick, so you got to make sure you have a strong Western education and try and talk English at the highest level, but try and maintain your culture at the same time. So we try and do 3 trips a year back this way. And when they get older, they'll probably want to come back with their education and help their mob in the bush.
And that seems to be the conflict for most Indigenous people today, isn't it? How to honour the past but move forward as you need to in the modern world.
Yeah, and look, one of my uncles put it in a good way, Uncle Kenny Licklightner. He said, as cultural people, we have to continually reinvent ourselves, and it's about taking as much of our culture into the Western world and building those partnerships and ensuring that people can help us make this culture survive, you know, into the future as well.
Well said. Ray, before we go, you just want to mention quickly you've got something new that's coming to Red Dust?
Yeah, so Scotty, who's the CEO, we've had plenty of conversation. It's something that I've been passionate about for a long time, and it's contributing it in the space of mental health and well-being. So there's a program I'm working on called Beyond Dreaming.
Yep.
And Beyond Dreaming is about achieving beyond your dreams. You know, even if you achieve something, it's good to keep dreaming beyond that and keep achieving.
Yep.
Sadly, we lose a lot of young people. I've been back here for nearly 10 days, and I've learned over the last month we lost a couple of young people to suicide. So it's a big issue, and I've been through that journey myself, and it's I think through a lot of the opportunities that I've had experiencing new things, it's allowed me to have focus but see that there's plenty of opportunities and grow that resilience within myself.
Thank you, mate. And thank you again for having us as your guests on your land
last night. Amazing experience that I will never forget.
Correct.
As long as I live.
Yeah. Top
it's
shelf.
A privilege and an honour, and we'd love to have you back for sure.
Okay. We'll be back.
Thanks, done. Ray.
Hello, thank my you. Name is Mira Miller, and I'm from Yundamo. You're listening to Kennedy Moo.
Jane Kennedy, Mick Molloy, and Santel Chilaro.
That's Jackamara. Chilaro to you. It's been like me not you saying dangerous. Dangerous is your skin name.
That is.
And mine's the Honey Badger. Honey Badger. And your real one is Jackamara.
Jackamara.
Chilaro. Yeah, so we've got two worlds colliding there that I'm sure about. Now, where have you just been?
I've just been to the school while during the break. Do not do any high fives with any of the kids.
Why not?
They're all painted up. Okay. So what they're doing high fives.
They're about to do a traditional
they're about to do a bit,
dance.
A bit of a welcome, bit of a dance.
Okay.
But if you end up with any ochre on you, you have to dance.
Oh,
so they're cheeky. They come up to you, hey, high five here.
And then you're in.
And then they point at you when it's time to dance.
Oh,
and you've got to get
thank you for that
so
tip.
I haven't been eating salty. What are the salty plums?
Salty plums.
So what are you going to dance? What kind of dance?
No, Macarena, maybe.
A bit of boot scooting?
No, I'm not a boot scooting kind of guy.
Oh, I think you might be.
Hey, you mentioned the kids.
The school is great. The school is great.
We had the early learning
We did. They've got an early learning centre and also a family centre that's here, which is fantastic. A great bunch of women running.
That is a great early learning centre, and there was a kid who, the youngest person ever to receive a liver transplant. They picked it up early out here in Yuendamu. It's fantastic.
Incredible. I've learned a bit there today, and this is a fascinating fact I didn't know. But basically, we're talking about kids and development and different places, and kids up here can basically start and manage a fire by the age of 2.
Oh, that's impressive.
That was said to me. Yeah, now, that is impressive. Now, my kids could start them at 2.
Yeah. Not manage one.
We don't know what's going to happen after that.
Isn't that incredible? It's like, I remember when I went to Vancouver and kids there could ice skate by the age of 2. Some of them before they could walk. The other thing you told me the other day, which is still sticking with me, is that children of that age are basically carried. Is that They're carried until
you can walk, and then you're basically almost left alone.
So they don't crawl. There are no crawling.
There is no crawling in any community.
So how, what happens? Is it like
older siblings look after the younger ones?
Yeah, but how do you know when it's time to? So the baby doesn't touch the ground.
No, it doesn't touch the
ground until they're convinced
it's
ready to walk. Incredible. And fact number 3. That the child is not necessarily raised or isn't raised by biological parents. Can you explain that to us?
Well, it happens even in my background in Southern Mediterranean, where your parents give birth to you and they love you.
That's their
job is to love you. But you're basically it's a very complex system. Whereby your grandparents and your aunties and uncles look after you.
I've got that. Shared responsibility.
They do. It's a shared responsibility.
And they've got to do the discipline, not the parents.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And there's a bit of discipline that can go on. And you've just got to make sure you've got lots of aunties and uncles. And you go, I think I'll go to that auntie because she might be a bit cooler about this.
It's been fascinating.
How good was the school, though?
The school was amazing.
Alice Nelson took us to the grade fives. And did you see the poster that was up on the on the wall about the various lizards that you see to identify them?
I actually took a screenshot of that because I knew that I've had kids at home and there's
so it's whether you touch them right so whether they're dangerous or not, but then there's the kids writing certain notes next to
so there's about 16 different lizards in this area and you can eat them. They've got the list of which ones you can
eat. And can't eat
and a couple you'd say yes you can eat it it can bite. It's a bit sweet and tastes like chicken.
There was one that says it's sweet but can give you headaches.
That's right. It said if eaten can give you very bad headaches. And another one just says, oh, this is the people's favourite, but this one tastes like fish.
Fantastic really stuff. Great. Very educational. And it was a wonderful opportunity to swing through that early learning centre. Right down the other end of the pool, yesterday afternoon we were treated to a very special afternoon with some of the senior men from around around town, Santo? Can you...
The brothers, elaborate? Warwick and Jabison Nelson.
Yep.
So Warwick and Jabison, who are great. They are super
guys. I love
guys,
these guys. Best.
And Derek is their brother. He's the guy that wanted to do an interview. The copper.
The copper.
Who came up and said, I want to do an interview with Mick. And Mick turned white because he's a copper wants to do an interview with me.
Could I tell you what he said quickly to us, to both of us today?
Yes, of course.
He said, because you do the show The Front Bar, he said, yes, next time you come up, can you bring the little midget with you? We go, there's Sam Pang.
He just looked at us and said, bring the midget.
Bring the midget.
So Warwick and Jabison took us out last night with Ned Hargraves, who we spoke to yesterday, who's just, again, another quality bloke.
Yeah.
And, geez, we went to a very special place.
It was a special place of great significance to them, and it's an honour to be taken out there. And so they took us out. They told us
we could tell you about this. It's a hole that where a giant basically consumes people.
A monster.
In the dreaming.
Yeah, and puts you into that hole, and then you go along
and
the tunnel.
And the tunnel, it comes out at a Rocky Mountain outcrop that's some 50-60 k's away, it looks like. And
it's the excretion of the people that the giant eats.
That's it, and it was quite moving, and to see that hole was extraordinary. And then, of course, Ned's pulled out the guitar.
Oh, yes, and he's a very good player.
He's played a couple of songs. Dan Sultan had a hard time getting his own guitar back.
that was funny.
But it got us thinking, and we've asked them, and they said it's fine for us to talk this one through with you.
Because there was the giant footprint as well.
There was a giant footprint, which is, I swear to you, it's a giant footprint. It looks exactly like a footprint, but it's in stone. Mm. So it's not, we're not making around here, and that's part of the whole legend. But it got us thinking about what our special sites of significance are, and what ours would be. And we want you to give us a call, because we can all, it's not exclusive, I don't feel.
No, I guess not, no.
That, have a think about it, and what means something in your life, and what particular spot it would be. Mine would be Bum Rock.
Bum Rock.
In Mount Eliza, which is where, when we went to school, we'd wag, and we'd go down the river, and there was a rock that looked like a bum. And we'd go down there and smoke. Now, if I ever do a pilgrimage or a journey in back to a site of something that has great significance to
that's
me.
That's your Camino.
I'm going to go down to Bum Rock and have a park drive premium.
Oh. Get Ned Hargraves to play a song for you.
Play a song.
And sit there.
That may be the MCG. What about you, son?
The MCG is certainly one for me that I've certainly grown up with. But there are places when I go back to, my parents' hometown and stuff in Italy, in Sicily, there are places there that you love.
Jane?
Oh, it'd have to be the grotto at school, Mary's Grotto. It's where a statue of
the Playboy Mansion.
The grotto. The grotto.
It's a statue of Mary.
It sounds like a nightclub from the 90s. I'll see you down at the grotto.
Listen, you went to a Catholic school, didn't you?
Yes.
And it's a convent school, and it's like this sort of cave place where the statue of Mary is there.
Yeah.
And for some reason, all my girlfriends are. In fact, I think we had the Alpine lights out at some stage.
So both your sacred spots rely on smoking, is that right?
Yeah.
That's your smoking ceremony.
That's our significant smoking ceremony.
All right, you get the idea. 133353. Get involved. Let us know what's of significance to you, special.
My name is Sherilyn. I go to school in Dindamore. Welcome to my dad. You're listening to Kennedy the Murat.
133353, the guys are taking your calls on your significant or sacred sites, places that are special to you. Give us a ring now, 133353.
What's so hard about Malloy?
It's hard.
Dave, what's your special site?
Well, I grew
Where
up
are you
in...
sitting now?
No, I grew up in country Victoria in Ballarat, so I think mine would be Cryle Castle, Mick.
Cryle Castle. You know they tried to turn that into a brothel, don't you?
Oh, no kidding.
No, it was a medieval kind of, what do you call it, theatre restaurant thing where you could actually go and do
reenact
some jousting. Go and watch the jousting.
Is jousting a euphemism for something?
No, they
jousting
really
wanted... Jousting available on the second floor.
Busty wenches, ahoy.
But they did, and then there's someone bought it and made a genuine attempt to turn it into some kind of medieval brothel.
Correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't it also turned into a rave kind of party place?
There was,
You could have,
I'm guessing both are...
You know, a special spiritual site for Dave is the end of John Bon Jovi's bed.
Well, I have sat there and bounced up and down.
He has sat there and interviewed him respectfully from the end of the bed.
That's special.
Have to do that. Let's start at the top. Matt, what's your sacred site? Not sacred, but let's call it spiritual and meaningful.
Yeah, there's a nice little secluded spot down the Werribee River in Victoria.
Yeah, the Werribee River. Yeah, what significance does that hold?
The Woodstock there, I had a packet of Horizon Purple 50s, and I lost my virginity there of a night time.
Oh, good Lord.
And then smoked the cigarettes.
So it's a Woodstock bourbon. Wow. All right. Well, that should be. Is there a plaque there commemorating this occasion?
Yeah. I had a plaque. I also had my best mate there who didn't want to leave, so we both.
Oh, what? Hang on.
Whoa. Is it his special spot too, or he's just a casual observer?
Yeah. No. It was mine. I teed it up, but he just didn't want to go home.
All right.
That's very enlightening. Thank you, Matt. Let's go to our next caller, who is?
Dave.
Got Dave. Hi, Dave.
Hey, guys.
Tell us about a spot that has special meaning. Good on you. Thanks, Dave.
My special meaning spot, that sounded weird, is Wobby's World.
Now, Wobby's World, I think that's in Victoria as well, isn't it?
I think it's in Victoria.
Why is Wobby's World of any significance?
I went there as a kid. It was the only amusement park we had as a kid. And I have been forever known to this day since you guys did it as Piss Week World.
Okay. That's disrespectful.
or respectful.
It's disrespectful to Piss Week World. So what was your favourite ride at Wobby's World? For people who don't know, Wobby's World was like a sort of, I guess, a kids' park where you could go on water slides. And is that
But it didn't pedalos? Have it didn't have rides like Disneyland Not or quite. Anything like that. They were sort of half-assed rides.
And what was your favourite ride on that one?
Well, I was only a little child. I was under 11 years old when I was there. And I remember they had this six-wheeled vehicle. It looked like something out of the Banana Split. And I drive around the and I remember thrown around at this thing and bruised all over. And then that's the only bit that stuck with me. And I'm thinking to myself at the time, this is piss week. And then I...
All right, let it go, mate. Good on you, Dave. It's a spiritual occasion. We'll all go for a pilgrimage there one day. Tony, what's your special site of meaningful significance?
Well, I've got quite a couple, but being a big fan of the Aboriginal culture...
Yep.
There's Karanginni National Park, and
where's that?
In Western Australia. That's
top of Western Australia. Yep.
Yeah, and the Bungle Bungles.
Bungles. Have anyone here been to the Bungle Bungles?
I certainly have. It's probably my favourite place in the world, I think.
I have never seen anything on the face of this planet quite like that landscape, and it's amazing. I've been over it and on the ground, and it's.
Have you gone back more than once, Tony?
I've been a couple of times, but when you get in there, you just become part of the land, I feel.
It feels like you're going back. It's like you're going back a million years.
It is, yes.
Yeah.
Indeed. All right. Well, on that note, we'll pay that one. Well done, all. I think we've run the gamut there from Wobby's World to the Bungle Bungles. You get the idea. You can still contact us on socials if you so choose.
My name is Aaron from Yundabu.
You're listening to Kerry Neenore.
Shirley Hood is Australia's number one female Indigenous comedian. She comes from a very big family.
I've got six brothers, five sisters. Funny, not one of us named Robin.
But don't expect her comedy to get political.
I don't like to talk politics, so I'll break it down. Poly meaning many, ticks, bloodsucking mongrels.
But there's a reason we better watch out for this deadly comedian.
I'm black, I'm a female, and I'm left-handed, mate. I'm a triple threat.
Please welcome the very funny Shirley Hood.
And here she is now. Welcome, Shirley. How are you?
Very good, Mick and Jane.
What a firecracker.
Oh, what a great time to be a firecracker, actually.
It is.
Right here up in the desert too, Yundamu.
Now, this is not
and
your first time.
Good to be
time.
On the show.
Good on you. Not first time to Yundamu. You've been here before?
Yeah, that's right. I have been here before.
Yep.
My first time Red Dust trip.
Yes. Okay, have you noticed a difference since you were here last?
Yeah, well, a big difference. It's sort of growing a bit. Infrastructure. Yeah.
When you came last time, what was the reason for it? Was it just a...
Oh, it was actually a theatre experience.
Okay.
We did musical theatre.
The proper theatre?
Yeah.
Musical theatre.
What did you do? Oklahoma?
Yeah, exactly. It was an actual health education.
Oh, good on you.
Musical, which was great. And it was hard to describe to them what theatre is and what a play is.
But that's ironic, like, because music, the whole lives of the kids is surrounded by music and play
and storytelling.
Storytelling.
That's right, storytelling and football.
Yes.
And as they say up here, double double, eh?
What's that?
Yeah,
mean?
That means football.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So double, I learned double, that, I remember from that. From right. The young fellas yesterday.
Yes.
Great to see.
Hey, Shirley, when I've been speaking to, it's been great to connect with you and meet you while we've been here. It's been great fun.
Yes.
I'll ask him where you're based and where you live, and you said two places, but one of them was a very interesting address in Canberra. Can you let us know that address?
Well, hello to everyone. I'm Noongar Kurnai Gunditj Damara, so Noongar Perth Kurnai Gunditj, south of Victoria, but I've been living time in Canberra.
Okay.
Yep, in Ngunnawal country. And I have been staying at the Tent Embassy.
Have you? Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah. So on my license, I have got Tent Embassy, 1 King George Terrace.
That's a good address.
Is that how I should contact you from now
yeah,
on?
Yeah, that's right. Come and see us in the tents, man.
Hey, location, location, location.
There you go. You can't miss.
There it is. Oh,
there's Shirley's just showing us her license now.
A driver's license, I have it.
Yeah.
And
don't tell anyone how old I am.
I don't believe that's your age. I really don't, Shirley. Come on. So how much time do you spend there?
Been living there from about 2:10.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's intense.
Yep.
Man, intense. Yep. So, you know, it just teaches you to be aware of what you got and thankful for what you got, you know, like walls.
Well, there's a foreign concept to all of us. Be thankful for what we've got.
Yes, yeah, exactly, exactly.
What you're talking about.
So, yeah, okay. from Tent Embassy and then with the comedy world, that's why it's great to see other comedians in yonder mood. It's great to be with you, yeah.
And we're doing a concert tonight and you're going to perform.
Tonight I'm going to MC and we'll do, like, throw out, introduce all the different bands and we've got a few bush bands coming in and I think we're going to have a lot of fun with the community at Yondamoo.
Yeah.
And we've got all the young people, the and old aunties and all the old gentlemen.
The young people, you've been doing workshops while you've been here, which is one of the reasons Red Dust have you on board. Tell us about that and what you've been doing with the kids.
We've been getting together, like, with the young people, looking at how to tell story through funny.
Yep.
Because they speak Walpuri up here. So, to the traditional owners from up here, thank you for having us on your country. It's Walpuri up here. And so they speak a totally different language. English is like sometimes their third or fourth language, which is unreal. So doing comedy with Walpuri and then figuring out, like, how to mix that and, like, getting interpreters, we've had to work it.
So if I'm going to heckle you, should I heckle you in Walpuri?
You are, brother. Yes.
But it's funny because in the time that I've been coming out bush, there is so much humour out
here. We have laughed non-stop since we've been here.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is that, like, we never had television for like 65,000 years in the country.
Right.
So you notice that, like, storytelling in all the different ways.
Mm. But Hey was on when that 65,000 years ago when you if you have had
that's
a TV.
Right. That's right.
We want to thank you so much for joining us on our show, going out right around Australia.
It has been wonderful. And thanks for taking us out to all the precious places out there. We saw a great sunset last year. And, you know, look forward to keep coming back.
Can I say to you, congratulations. This is the first conversation the two of us have had where neither of us has sworn in the last 3 days.
We have done very well, Mick.
The swear jar is empty.
Yeah, that's right.
Good on you, Shirley. Good luck tonight. I'll be there to cheer you on.
Hello, everyone. Yeah, my name is Wilfred Nelson. I come from Yundamoo and I'm working for the Ball Media Radio and you are listening to Kennedy Moy.
All right, kids, over to you again.
My name is Shamina.
And my name is Chelsea. Right.
And this is Kennedy Molloy.
Live from Yundamoo.
From Yundamoo.
So good. I'm going to be out of a job the way you guys are doing that. Jane Kennedy, Mick Molloy, live from Yundamoo with Santo Chilaro. Big show. Follow us online at kennedymolloy.com.au.
Pronounce it properly, Dave. It's Molloy. Kennedy
Moulton. He's that Jackamara, which is your skin name. We're not mucking around.
It's really hotting up at the school right now. I said that they're all painted up.
Those same kids we've just heard are right now getting into it.
It's so much fun out there at the moment. And they've even painted up and dressed the girls that have come out for Red Dust.
Are the footballers.
Yeah. We should say that this is such a big football community, loving community here. And some AFL and AFLW footballers have come out, which is great. So we're going to say a shout out to Brad Sewell, who formerly played with Hawks.
He's done a great job.
Will Minson, another awesome job. He's been
coming out for about 15 years, even more.
Jai Simkin from North Melbourne and also Jamie McMillan from North Melbourne.
Very popular, those boys.
Yeah, but the girls who are going to be dancing and they're awesome chicks, they have been playing also, like every day. They've been going hardcore with these kids who are wearing them out.
One of the girls, I don't know which one, maybe one of the twins, one of the Hosking twins, she had her iPhone on. What's the watch?
The iWatch.
And she measured how much she ran last night. And just they were just mucking around with the kids for about an hour or so. Five kilometres she did. That's how much they
well,
run.
Well, that's hi to Sarah and Jess Hosking and Nicola Stevens from Carlton, Ellie Anderson from Brisbane Lions, and Eshlane, who's also here. And I know their parents are all listening. So
she should be very proud.
And Tatiana, who's out from Brazil. She's a triathlete.
Yes, she is a triathlete. Yeah, so and she's a vegan.
Is she?
I might borrow her Fitbit.
She's a very fit girl.
She is indeed. And can I say, I ran into Brad Sewell the other day. He was saying how the kids had played basketball, they'd gone to the pool, and they then played football. And I saw him. He was cooked.
He was cooked.
He was cooked. These kids are very hard to put down.
Well, fortunately, we haven't been asked, Mick, to put some boots on or do anything like that. But we do have someone very special coming up soon, which is Dan Sultan, who's also here with the beautiful Bronnie.
He is indeed. And we just need to remind everyone why we're here, Santo, the organisation.
Well, look, we're here for Red Dust. Now, Red Dust is a great organisation. I've said it before that I've worked with for a long time, but that's just by the by. They're a great organisation. They're a non-for-profit, clearly, healthy message, and they work in conjunction with
the communities.
With communities. They walk side by side with communities. So, you know, we don't walk in here and say, we'll solve this, we'll fix this up. It's got nothing to do with that.
What's your problems? What's the issues?
Yeah. We create relationships with remote Indigenous communities. And use role models.
Use role models in a positive way.
Who love coming up and come back with a lot more than they kind of give. That's in a way. You know, so it's
to tell some stories of our experience. We couldn't be happier. There's no bigger superstar. We mentioned our footballs on deck right now than former local boy Dan Sultan. Who's about to make his way into the studio. We're on for a chat. We're going to get his thoughts, and he's got a play for us, which is fantastic.
The Red Centre.
The beating heart of Australia.
Vast, sweeping landscapes. Unforgettable wildlife. Endless amounts of red dust. And two radio hosts who slept in a swag last night.
Come on.
Broadcasting live from Yuendumu, a remote Indigenous community 300 kilometres northwest of Alice Springs, in association with Red Dust and their Healthy Living Program. This is Kennedy Malloy, live from the Northern Territory.
It sure isn't. As we speak, the kids from the local school are painting up and getting ready for the concert to end all concerts, which will be underway tonight, including our next guest and many others. It's going to be a shocker. Jane Kennedy, I saw you with the guitar. Is there a chance you will be involved?
Oh, look, I'll do anything for these kids and for the hospitality that these people have had, but no one's to record anything.
Correct answer. We're going to check in with the locals again. We'll be checking in with Jacamara Chalaro. Santo, you're up to no good?
I'm going to attempt to get the piano accordion out tonight. I don't know how it's going to go.
He tried to do it at the campfire last night, and I said, no.
I can't believe that you didn't like, what's the matter for you?
Strangely inappropriate, believe it or not.
Even though that we're pretty remote, we can still get in touch with a lot of news, but we thought we might get you to sort of give us some, you know, ideas of what's going on.
That's right. So you're going to give us a call and tell us what we've missed out, including a royal visit. Why they're not coming to Yuendumu is a mystery to me.
We've got a man on the ground.
Why go to Dubbo for the Australian experience? Yeah. Come and meet us here, you losers. Come on, get it on the line. We've got a royal correspondent, actually, in Dubbo, Adam Rosenbach. We'll be speaking to him, but let's kick off this big hour with our next guest.
Dan Sultan is one of Australia's most treasured musical voices.
The song decides what it's going to be. We were able to capture it and latch onto it and attach ourselves to it. It's our responsibility to honour it.
He's an ARIA Award winner with a few nominations this year, and it's not hard to see why with hits like this.
Well, the wheels on the bus go round and round, round and round, round and round. The wheels on the bus go round and round, all the way into town.
Jokes aside, Dan's music often has a connection to country.
And I'm
we're very lucky to be spending some time with him in Yuendumu.
I feel very fortunate that I can be in a place where my people have been for so long.
Performing for us live, please welcome Dan Sultan.
Hey, Dan, how are you, mate?
I'm good. How are you?
Firstly, thank you for swinging by the studio.
Well, it's just I was here and then I saw you arrive and I thought, oh, well, if we can sort out an interview, that'd be good.
That would be great. And we're so happy to have you.
We're at Paw Radio 102.9 FM.
Good on you, Paw. They've been great hosts to us and it's going to be a great privilege for them and for us to hear you play live in the studio in just a moment.
Have you played at Paw before? Have you been in these studios before?
No, I haven't. No. I was here yesterday.
So. Oh, okay.
Technically, I have, but no.
Good times.
No, I haven't. I've actually been out to Yundamu quite a bit when I was
and
what's
that?
Your connection? How did this all begin?
Yeah, my father did a lot of work out here and my mother. And, yeah, we were out here quite a bit when I was very young. And I came up a couple of times throughout my childhood. But it's been about 25 years since I've been here.
What's the most significant thing you've seen change?
Well, I don't know. A lot's changed, you know, but a lot's the same as well, you know. 25 years, I was still pretty young. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
there's a lot
it's a family connection.
Just wouldn't be able to remember, you know. Well, yeah. I've been adopted into these people. I'm not Walpree, which is the people here and where we are. I'm Eastern Islander and Gurindji, which is a bit further north, and Eastern Islander is right near Alice Springs in that area. So I'm not actually from here, but I've been adopted into this place and these people when I was very little. So, you know, it's nice to be here.
It's certainly
beautiful part
had
of the world.
It's incredible. Yeah. And we shared a really wonderful night last night where we were taken out onto some beautiful land and been treated so beautifully by the locals. But yesterday afternoon we shared an experience with Ned. We're allowed to talk about it out there to a very special site, which was an incredible afternoon, wasn't it? For us, it's just so eye-opening and new. Mm. What's an experience like that when the seniors of the community take you out and show you something that's special?
Yeah, well, you know, look, I've been fortunate enough to do some similar things in different places like this. But it's still, I think, you know, it's still the same for me as it would be for someone who's doing it for the first time. It's, you know, a very powerful part of the world. You know, the landscape is very beautiful and very beautiful people. And, you know, when you're welcomed anywhere, whether it's Yundamu or, you know, anywhere in the world by locals and, you know, it's very warm. It's very hot. But, you know, it's very warm, in the spirit sense.
It's very special.
It's interesting that every time you, or not every time, but often when you're told a story, it always ends in a song. You know, you know, yesterday we were out hearing some, you know, beautiful stories out there and out came the guitar straight away. So so clearly story and music.
And you twist his arm. Uncle Ned.
Uncle Ned.
Oh, I won't play. Oh, should I play?
Yeah. Oh, mate, we told just before. I don't think he was playing at the concert tonight. I said, mate, do you want to play a song tonight? Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, yep. I've got a new one for you.
And you were pretty much roadieing.
I roadied.
For him. It was a new position for you.
It was. And I would say that position I lasted about, 15 seconds?
Until he basically told you to rack off.
Well, not so much. He asked me to back him on guitar, and I did. And then he let me know, you know, very politely.
Very.
Thank you, but no thanks. You
know. It was brilliant. Now, Dan.
Oh, I would just want to say you've had some really ripping news in the last week or so. You've been nominated for Best Male Artist ARIA. There's another ARIA award you've been also nominated for. Best Adult Contemporary Album.
That's right.
Congratulations.
Adult Contemporary. Yeah. Growing up. Don't tell anyone. It makes me feel like I've made a Kenny G sounding record or something like that.
I was going to say Richard Clayderman myself.
Maybe to some people that's what it sounds like. But yeah, look, you know, I've had a pretty full on year this year with a lot of shows, and then I took myself off the road, which we don't have to get right into. But I'll just say that I wasn't really looking after myself that well, and I had to take care of some mental health and physical health and. You know, I'm feeling great now, sort of 5 months on from that and just ready to get back into it. So something like this was a surprise.
That's fantastic.
But it was a welcome surprise. And, I mean, you never know what's going to happen at these things. You know, whether I come home with one or two is you know, who knows. I've got a few at home anyway, so that's all right.
Good for you. And also, I see that everything in life is better when you've got someone as gorgeous as Bronnie by his side.
Oh, she'll be so embarrassed.
Will she? Oh, no. She's a gorgeous girl.
No, she's awesome. Yeah. She's not embarrassed. She's got about 4,000 followers on Instagram. She's all right. No, but she's amazing. And, yeah, I've been very fortunate. People that I work with, from my label to management to my agent.
Yeah.
And then everybody in my band and, you know, family and extended family and people that I've worked with. The industry as a whole and, you know, no less and especially Bronnie, she's awesome. She's a true healer, you know. And I feel like I've done a lot of healing, and this is the first real thing I've done back in media-wise and also sort of playing. I've done a few little things, but this is... So it's funny how it all comes around. It's a good deal.
We're so happy to talk to you, and we're so happy you're well, and you look great, and we're honoured that you would come in and talk to us.
I'm looking great. I'll just say I've lost about 10 kilos. I've stopped drinking about 5 months ago. Mm-hmm. 10 kilos, which is great. However, the kids here have let me know.
Oh, really?
They've let me know how much weight I've put on since Brand New Day, which is... Which is very nice of them. Oh, you were in Brand New Day with Jessica. Yeah, I was. Yeah, you were skinny, weren't you? They're really, really cool and polite about it, though. They're not saying you're fat now or you're overweight. They're just saying you were skinny then. And it's just like, well, I was. And I was also 25, and I was also not eating that much for various reasons. And, you know, but you can't really get into that.
You can't.
All right. Well, I tell you what, make no mistake. There's a concert on here tonight, and you are the headline act. Well, there's a real air of excitement around the place that you were going to be playing, so
I'm going to play first. I'll just say,
okay, cool.
There are bush bands coming on, and for anyone who's seen bush bands, you know, you don't want to go on after them, particularly in community. You know,
like, I get it.
And these kids, they know me from Brand New Day. They're not really, I wouldn't say they're avid Triple M listeners or any other radio stations. So, me getting up and singing love songs about being a shitty boyfriend isn't really what they're. So I'll go on first and then.
Hey, Dan, what are you going to play for us now?
I'm going to play a song called Kingdom.
Yep. Brilliant.
And, we'll see how we go.
Thanks.
All right.
Children from my home, go and block a thousand suns. One of these days our kingdom come. By leaders we deserve all our penance we will serve. Oh, and I'm waiting, waiting for the kingdom. And I'm waiting, waiting for the kingdom. We walk together through the jungle to the end. We're running away from everything that we left behind. Do you remember anything? 'Cause I can remember everything. Who's coming with me? Yeah, who's coming with me to the kingdom? Well, I see the sun come up on high, through the cold of night, calls me out right to my bones, and it's come to take me home.
into the kingdom. Sons, one of these days our kingdom come.
Dan Sultan, ladies and gentlemen, that was terrific, Dan. Thank you. Thank you. We can't thank you enough. And thank you for coming up and making so many people so happy around this community.
Goosebump stuff, Dan.
It's my pleasure. And yeah, thanks for coming out to Yundamu as well. It's important that people know about these places, and it's a beautiful, beautiful place we live in, and many different cultures and many different ways of doing things. So
yep.
To be celebrated, and good on you.
Well said.
That's awesome.
Dan Sultan, ladies and gentlemen, I'm so looking forward to this concert coming
Dave,
up.
Have you got dates?
I do indeed, guys.
Dan,
yeah, so, yeah, Dan's solo
well,
shows will be performing in Melbourne, Brisbane, Adelaide and Perth. Best thing to do is head to dansultan.com for more information. But we're talking the ESPY, the Old Museum Concert Hall in Brisbane, the Rosemount Hotel in Perth and the Gov in Adelaide. That's late November and all through December as well. That was just amazing. Congratulations, Dan.
Thank you, one and all.
Jane Kennedy, Mick Molloy and Santel Chilaro.
We loved listening to Dan Sultan then. That
just quickly, how good was that, and how great was it to be back, to see him back in action, and to sit across the desk while he sung that song was a truly awesome experience.
I could actually feel the vibration in the air. You know, yes. He had one of those, that voice that came out right from the middle of the body. I could almost feel the air shake.
You know what I love too? When musicians come into a studio or somewhere and they go, oh, they're good acoustics in here. Mm. And you go, oh, they feel really good when they're about to sing. You love that. Well, all right. Well, we couldn't go more from the sublime to the ridiculous. Mm. We're going to take a bit of a U-turn
now. What are
you
up to?
Well, I think it might be time for a bit of this. Hit it, Dave. Yes, I'm afraid
it's Dan Sultan again on the harpsichord.
On the harpsichord. Well played, Dan. It's royal news, and it's gone berserk today.
No.
Oh, Jane, what?
Well,
where are you going?
We've got a baby on board, and that was done very...
That's all they needed, because they just weren't getting enough publicity. I'd forgotten about Harry and who.
Do you put actually baby on board? Would you put one of those stickers on the back of the carriage?
That would be a good idea. And, of course, there's lots of dramas because it was announced at the engagement... the wedding reception.
And is that not the right protocol? Tell me.
No, they announced it that... No, it's not right protocol to overshadow the bride. It's the bride's day. So Meghan and Harry announced at Eugenie's and Jack's wedding reception that she was, I'm going to have a baby in May. So that hasn't gone well.
Can you be up the Duff?
Of course you can.
If you're a princess.
You can be up the royal Duff. And that's the right royal Duff. And that's what's happened. And but of course, Meghan and Harry are in Australia, and we couldn't be more thrilled. So what did we do? We thought we would send one of our great mates, Adam Rosenbach's on the road. To follow the royal tour, and I think we might have Rosie in to report from Dubbo. Come in, Rosie.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Yeah, well, we're going very well in Yundamu, and we're very disappointed that the royal couple won't be swinging by here. But I suppose it's not going to get any more Australian than it is in Dubbo. Have they arrived yet? What's the mood on the ground? Paint the picture for us.
All right. Well, I got into Dubbo this morning. They have not arrived. They're still in Sydney. So you can feel the excitement in the air in Dubbo is just, it's almost non-existent, basically.
come on.
There's a few flags. There's a couple of pictures of Harry and Meghan about. But apart from that, it is so low-key. I wandered through the park because they're coming to Dubbo and they're going to visit the Royal Australian Flying Doctor Service. They're going to visit a drought-stricken farm, and then they're having a picnic in Victoria Park, a big park in the middle of Dubbo. I just kind of strolled through there this afternoon, and no one stopped me. I sat in a cart, and everyone just kind of watched me do it, and I was still putting up bows on some light poles. It's taken its time.
So it's a very laid-back, casual, although I have seen photos that I think you have been taking for us of shop fronts being done up, and you've got to say that it's a very exciting time for, let's say, a lot of the women there.
Well, I was told that people are getting bussed in from the country towns around Dubbo, so they reckon it's going to start to really build up once the old
So the Way supporters are coming in.
So the contingent from Orange is coming in already?
Yes, they really are. So then, you know, when old people get up, say about 4:30 in the morning, and get bussed in to here, they reckon the crowds will start building about 8-9 o'clock in preparation for them to be here at about 11:30. They'll be on.
Well, it's a good thing they're visiting the flying doctor service, because if she gets morning sickness, they can fly her all the way to a swish clinic in London.
What about souvenirs? That's the stuff that I love in Eddie Rothen. Have you seen any of that out?
I really haven't. They're not really doing much. I thought they might have just a good opportunity to have the world's biggest baby shower right here in Dubbo.
That's right. Or at least a plate or a platter with their heads on it.
Either they're not doing much, mate, or you're on the nod. What have you been down the pub just doing nothing? Or what? Are you sure there's nothing happening?
Trust me, the one thing I'm worried about is their safety. I walked through the park this afternoon and I got swooped by two magpies. So the snipers are not going to have to be worried about terrorism or anything like that. Two magpies had a crack at me.
Oh, wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't that be the most Australian thing ever if the royal couple got swooped by a magpie in Dubbo?
The royal couple did get shocked because we have a poster where Mick and I have actually dressed up as Meghan and Harry.
Yes.
And I think there was a billboard on a truck that timed it to actually go right next to them as they were travelling through Sydney. So they might have checked us out and got a bit of a shock.
You know what would be great? If they're, you know the little baby magpies?
Yes.
If that swooped the baby bump? You know, so
you are now thinking on another level.
A little magpie.
Yes. What about this? Do you think the excitement level would increase if me and Jane turned up in costume, in carriage, pretending to be the royal couple, Rosie?
I think that would go absolutely cocoa bananas, Mickey. I tell you one thing, it has gone crazy today. The news is broken. So when Megan got off the plane, she was carrying a purple binder
The plane. What is this all about, Rosie?
A what?
A purple folder.
Yeah, purple folder. And Officeworks have reported that purple binders have gone up 75% in sales.
Oh, that's ridiculous. Not to mention the frock she was wearing, which is... when she was in Sydney, a Karen G dress available online, $1,800. What a bargain. They've only got a few left.
That crashed the website. That it was on. And that reminded me of the time that Kmart's website crashed when Mickey was seen in tracksuit pants.
No, don't start that. Now, mate, I need to know, have you got the fever? Are you excited? Tell me you're standing there in Dubbo right now wearing one of those big beef eater hats.
I'm about to black out, but I'm pumped, mate. I've got some names ready to go. I'm going to suggest some names tomorrow. It's not if it's a girl, either Chappelle or Lee Lynn. Or if it's a boy, we go with Nolsey or Honey Badger. Yes.
You've got it down pat. That's awesome. Hey, thank you so much. Will you continue to be our royal correspondent on the road for us, Rosie?
Well, look, I'm stuck here in Dubbo, so yeah, I'd love to.
Go to the pub, Rosie. Get on board. Great to have you on board. We'll check in, if not tomorrow, the day after for another ripping royal update. Adam Rosenbarks, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi, my name is Rory Williams. You're listening to Kennedy Molloy live from Yundumbo. My name is Rory Williams. I work for the Paul Media. You're listening to Kennedy Molloy. Back to you, Mick and Shane.
Oh, Silky Warren. Wow.
Thank you. Good on you, Warren.
No need for Dangerous Dave. He could be gone here. Hey, we were talking about locals, and it is a great radio station we're broadcasting out of. Can't thank Paul Radio, 102.9 FM, enough. This is a proper legitimate radio station, and they've been brilliant to us. And we
handed it over to us.
We couldn't be happier. And we spoke, Santo, earlier today, and Jane, with a teacher called Alice down at the school, who's been there for how many years?
She's been teaching for about 29 years.
She's a newcomer.
Not considered a local yet. But we were talking about the opportunity of getting some of these kids down to our station.
That's right.
To bring them down and maybe pilot a radio show or do something and show them what it's like in the big smokes.
Yeah, no, she came up, Alice Nelson came up to me. We were in the grade fives at the time, and she said, oh, you know what, look at the kids. They're really interested in what's going on here.
They were.
Do you reckon we could ever come down to Melbourne and actually learn how to make radio shows and television
Well, they
shows?
Won't learn much from Mick, but, you know, I'm sure someone can show them.
What not to do. Now, also at the school, I've gone into this bloke as, it's the only way I know, is King of the Kids. Because I don't know what your official title is, Steve, but the kids love you. I've seen them chasing your bus down the street. I've seen them hanging off you in the schoolyard. They have genuine affection for you, and I see you are now, as we speak, covered from head to toe in paint, so you've clearly been out there dancing with them. Welcome aboard, Steve. Tell us, what is your official position at the school?
The official position is I work for a corporation called Wanda Aboriginal Corporation, and we deal with here in Unamu remote school attendance, so getting as many kids as possible into the school gates, and then the other side of my role is school engagement. So that's anything I can do to put a smile on their faces so that way they keep coming to school.
It's working. How are you going with attendance, which is one of the big issues for all communities, is getting kids to turn up? What's your latest trick? What's your latest weapon?
Latest weapon is ham and cheese, toasted sandwiches in the morning. Something a little bit warm.
I would have turned up. I would have done class this morning for one of those.
Yeah, something a little bit warm for them, a little bit different than porridge or wheat bix.
Yep.
And then we got local staff that drive around on a bus in the morning and assist families in actually getting the kids to school. So it might be a door knock to remind them that school's happening. And they'll say, yeah, kids are happening, going to go have a shower, and then we'll go back in 20 minutes, pick them up. So it's more about supporting the community in getting the kids to school.
Did you open the pool? I mean, this is another big-ticket item, no school, no pool. But did I hear you open the pool yesterday and it got all our footballers and guests down there in the pool with the kids?
Yeah, definitely. It was actually hilarious. We had all the guests that have come to Yundamu for the week throwing the kids around in the pool. It was like Wet and Wild, but in a little 25-metre pool, you know, a metre high. And, yeah, part of an initiative that we do have here in the community is in the warmer months, it's yes school, yes pool. So come to school and you get to go for a dip and cool down in the afternoon, which in this hot weather and climate in the afternoon, it's like a lukewarm bath.
Your own experience, you grew up in a different part of Australia. How was it when you first came here? When we were chatting before, you said, we weren't really sure whether you're going to stay. What's captured you and why have you?
I love kids, you know, and for me, this community is no different to any community around Australia. You know, they've got beautiful young spirits that just need some fostering to become great adults.
And were you fostered as a kid by someone or mentored by someone who found you?
Yeah, I was very lucky that when I was yearning for my culture and wanting to connect back on the East Coast, an elder of mine, Uncle Max, Jala Dulamunmun Harrison, took me under his wing and he's taught me everything I know, and I still check in with him today. Yep. And that's, I feel that's my role that I'm playing here with the kids as well, is to share the little bit of knowledge and that I have to make them into better human beings.
Can I float an idea which I think could only have positive benefits? Why don't we teach Aboriginal culture in our school system? Why isn't there a point...
And correctly.
And that's right. Yeah. But why don't in all our schools all around Australia, funded as a government program or whatever, that between grade 3 and grade 5 or whatever it is, you study Aboriginal culture, Aboriginal storytelling, language and whatever. I mean, the rich storytelling and stuff, it would blow kids' heads clean off their shoulders, I think, and we'd all be better for it. And they do it in other countries. If you go to New Zealand, you'll be taught Maori from a very early age. It seems ridiculous to me that it's not essential part of our education as we go on, and it's so vibrant, it's so wonderful, and maybe if you're taught that at a certain age, that when you get older or later in life, when you're probably asked to have some views that aren't necessarily sympathetic, you'll already go I understand, and
well,
I
you
like
might
that
not
concept.
Be making a motion in the Senate.
That's right. Like, can today. That be effective at all, Steve? is that helpful?
Well, yeah. To truly transform Australia, we need to educate. And it doesn't matter if we're looking in Aboriginal affairs or in any other affairs in our country. Education is the key. How do we educate people? We give them hands-on experiences. How do we do that? We bring Aboriginal culture into the classroom. And it's not just dance and didgeridoo, or the correct word is yadaki.
Yes,
I knew that. These guys were a bit slack in that department.
it's giving true experiences, you know, teaching from country. And it doesn't matter who you are. Identity is important. And culture is life. Mm. We talk about Australian culture, you know, we've got Aboriginal culture, you just mentioned Maori culture.
Yep.
If we don't have culture, what do we have?
Mm. Yep, agreed.
And it's the way, I mean, history kind of has always been taught in a sense here of, here are some facts you should know about the past. And how useless is that? As in, what does that mean? I mean, if you're going to call it history, call it an understanding of culture. Even if it is white culture, just make it understandable.
Agreed.
We better let you get to the dance because you're covered in
I'm going
to
come out and watch. Are you done or are you going again for the concert tonight?
The kids are done. They've done their little show for everyone.
Who was the star today, kids?
The women.
The women.
The women.
Oh, were they?
The women. Blew it away. They did Napa Dreaming, which is a water dreaming dance. So
beautiful.
Maybe for the concert tonight.
All right.
Come on down.
Steve, thank you for swinging by. We really appreciate it.
Hello. My name is Sabia. Welcome to YouTube. You're listening to Kennedy and Malloy. Hi, we can change.
All thanks to barbecues galore. How good. Jane Kennedy, Mick Malloy and Santel Chilaro.
Oh, that's right. Giacomara Chilaro, as he is known up here. And thank you, barbecues galore, for allowing us to come up here and being part of the magic. Gee, they're a good outfit. You know,
hey, we saw fire last night. We're all sitting around the campfire.
I wish they could build a barbecue that looked like the one we were at.
Well, I'll tell you what, when we get home, I'm going to invite people around in my back garden. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get the barbecues galore, the barbecue out, and we're all going to sit around in swags and go and sleep and just look at it all night and tell stories.
Spooky stories.
Like it's the greatest thing in the world and the centre of our universe the greatest bit of fire ever made. Right.
They've been cooking low and slow for like thousands of years.
Did they invent it?
I think they did.
Yeah.
And in fact,
when caveman first made that spark with the rock,
he did that knowing one day it would reach its culmination.
A Pro-Q smoker.
Yeah.
Or a Traeger pellet grill.
That's why fire was invented.
Correct, yes.
And
the wheel was invented, so they could wheel it in.
Hey, you know what we found out last night too? I hope you're not eating, but I hope you are eating. It was a whole kangaroo, which I was interested in, how you hunt them down.
Well, you'd have to do that in the Traeger pellet grill.
Yeah, you'd have
you'd
to.
Have to smoke
you'd have
for
to.
Some
you would have
time.
To.
And you know the great deli, you know the first bits that go to the elders, the delicacies, it's the tail.
Yes, the tail is always the big one, yeah.
And the guts.
Oh,
beautiful. Tastes great. Put that on your smoker. And go for it.
What would you like? I'd like that. Some guts, please.
Oh, no. That's
how would you like those guts?
I like my kangaroo meat. I like it on the barbecues galore, and I eat it quickly as soon as it comes off, and don't overcook it.
You wolf it down.
Low and slow, baby.
Wow.
Thanks, barbecue galore. All right, Sando, you've been ducking in and out of this studio.
Yes.
You've been here for all we're on air, but every time there's a break, you're across the road to the school checking out the concert. Is it over? What happened?
It's all over. They actually did the performance. It was introduced by one of the senior elders, Harry Giacomara Nelson, who explained what was going on, and then the kids just went off. As Steve said, the girls were fantastic.
Really?
Well, we hope to see them later on. We're all we're finishing up now.
Yeah.
And
have we got a clip of just of the concert?
How brilliant.
I got a quick clip. Do you want to hit this?
Yeah.
Yes, please.
This type of dance used to be performed on welcoming people from other country, other community. This particular dance is called Murunguru.
Jibi jibi le mana niya, jibi jibi le mana niya, amelbere le mana niya, amelbere le mana niya, jibi jibi le mana niya, jibi jibi.
There it is.
I'm hoping that you will remember the words to that on the way home in the plane.
I will. And I'll be dancing around your handbag.
Oh, thank you so much.
And congratulations to the girls also from Red Dust who participated in that as well.
They're
really good sports.
Hey, look, we can't do anything of the sort. Mm. We can't dream of coming up here and supporting Red Dust without lots of helpers. And bear with me, everyone, because we've got people to thank, particularly from Red Dust. And that's Brett Wheeler, Daniel Ormiston, Scott Sterling, the CEO, and Yvette Hollard for organising and getting us here, which has been awesome.
It's a big trip and it's logistically tough and everything out here, the degree of difficulty of organising anything
is off the chart,
off the charts here.
On the ground for Kennedy Malloy in the studio, we have Dave Williams, Jill Good and James Blake. Thank you
very
much.
Guys.
In Melbourne. And right here with us, we've had the great help of Whitney Plowman, Chris Marty Marsh and Andrea Cole. Thank you. To poor media.
Good work, team.
The
good
studio
work.
That we have here, Joel and Jeff, thank you very much for letting us take over your station.
They're thinking of poaching me from Triple M. I could make the move. I could be up here.
That's awesome.
Doing
you can
mornings.
Do that.
We're going to do mornings.
You just do a shift that's just about camp dogs. You've been so interested.
I love camp dogs.
You have just been hooked. Actually, a cheerio to all the camp dogs.
Yeah, to all the camp dogs.
I've been listening. They're out the side, the front of the studio.
They're running amok today, too, because there's so much on.
Everyone's gone, you know, they're either at the pool or dancing or preparing for the concert. So it's the dogs have taken over.
Okay, I've got a couple more. We want to thank our guest for today, Dan Sultan, for that unbelievably beautiful rendition, Kingdom, that he did. Cheryl Lee Hood, Stephen Ray from Community, thank you so much. And, of course, one other bloke. Santo Chalala.
Come on, it's a pleasure joining us
for the last 2 days. It's been fantastic.
And inspiring us to come up and to do this. And I mean, you've got me involved in this, and you've got Jane.
He's stuck with us now.
I've never seen never been involved in anything I've enjoyed more. So thank you for opening doors and making an avenue for us to talk to.
Look, it's a pleasure, and as I said yesterday, you guys actually had the guts to do it, and it's fantastic. I can't say
a privilege. Now we're going to hit the road tomorrow. Correct. Everyone. So you're going to hear some interviews that we've done, and you hear a bit of Dave in the studio.
Some new stuff. We're pre-recorded.
We're going to have a chat to a few more people now. We're going to, have a good time and chat with some more people. Might get a bit more music, talk to some more kids, and you'll hear that tomorrow. So thank you, everyone around Australia, but also your great support, because we've got amazing feedback. In fact, probably the most feedback we've had for any show.
I think people are genuinely interested, and we had just so many great stories. They're too numerous to mention, and the experiences, you know, we've only been here for 2 or 3 days, but it feels like I've been here. I've got 100 stories to tell when I get home.
And thank you for protecting me from all the nighttime scary things last night, guys.
That was good. You know what I love?
That was funny last night.
I said to Ray, how do you sleep, Ray? Because it was his property, and he was, how do you sleep, Ray? He goes, not very well. Why? He goes, I had to keep getting up to make sure you guys were safe.
What are you talking about?
Safe from what?
Oh, my God.
I love it. So that's the type of people. That's the type of care. We've received up here today. So really good. Danger, you prepared to boot it home from here, mate?
You bet. Well done, guys. It's been a great run. We've loved listening back here on the mainland or all the capital cities and all the Triple M affiliates. It's been brilliant. Hey, tomorrow, Dr. Chris Brown, you talk about dogs and all. He's got full bottle on some of those wild dogs in Outback Australia. Enjoy your trip back. We'll see you back here soon. Kennedy Malloy.
Now that your Kennedy Malloy catch-up is done, time to hit up the low and slow zone at barbecuesgalore.com.au for videos, tips and recipes to make your ribs, brisket or lamb delicious.